Welcome to the jungle. A tremendous Wednesday to you. My name is Jim Rome. Happy hump day, y'all. Especially you, Perf. What's going on? Welcome to the program. Good show for you. Wednesday is always a very busy day. Let's get at it. Let me start you off with your telephone number. I've got two interviews, and they start at 9:40, that specific time. We are on the West Coast, so that means between now and then, you've got plenty of time to get through. Hit me, 1-800-636-8686, 1-800-636-8686. If you want to join on Twitter, go ahead and do that, at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. So the interviews look like this. Coming up at 9:40, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. A lot going on around the league. He joins us at 9:40. 10:40, another NFL draft prospect, Jordan Addison, former USC Trojan. We'll have him via Zoom. Third hour is wide open, with the exception of the ATP. It's a Wednesday. Jim Rome podcast pushing out at the end of the program. I'm going to have a conversation with North Carolina football coach Mack Brown. Mack Brown going deep. And long form and premium and free clones. Jim Rome podcast, episode 261. That pod is going strong. Hey, look at me now. I'm not one of those guys that said, yeah, I'll do a pod. I'll do it for a week or 2 weeks or five eps or 10 eps. 261 eps. Been doing that podcast probably now.
Look at his down
for
face.
What, 5 years, 6 years, more? Every single week. Premium, long-form, free content for you clones.
Years.
So
years.
Look for that.
Years.
Years. 1-800-636-8686. Why don't we start today with the Packers? Hey, Packer fan, judging from you, at least those of you that call this show, those of you who email this show, those of you who tweet at this show, those of you who beef on this show, those of you who leave comments on our YouTube channel, it definitely seems to me, looking at all of that, at least that sample size, that Packer fan is beyond ready for the Jordan Love era. Hey, by the way, you heard me correctly. Did you even know we have a YouTube channel? We do. We have a YouTube channel.
What?
We do. Alvy, we do. I said it.
What?
Yeah, I said it. Yes, we have a YouTube channel. In fact, we've had a YouTube channel. And we have free content going up every single day. So, good news for you. You might not have known that. In fact, I know you didn't know that. It's at Jim Rome Show. At Jim Rome Show. Go over there, subscribe. In fact, find an Aaron Rodgers take, then hit like and leave me a comment. So, based on all of that, if you're a Packer fan, odds are that comment's going to be something like, good riddance, and all aboard the Jordan Love train, or enough of all the drama, it's Jordan Love's team right now, or don't let the door hit you, Aaron, it's Jordan Love time. Well, that part is definitely true. It is Jordan Love time. Time for Jordan Love to show the world that he was worth all of this. All of this. That he was worth blowing everything up for. That he was worth trading up for. That he was worth a first-round pick. And that he is, in fact, a worthy successor to the worthiest successor in the history of the game. Because that's why they drafted him in the first place. To take over for Aaron Rodgers. That's why they took him. Or they would have informed Rodgers that they were taking him, but they didn't. So, Aaron himself had enormous shoes to fill, and he did, and then some. So now it's Jordan Love's turn to try to continue that decades-long tradition of Hall of Fame quarterback playing Green Bay. But, what do the Packers really have in Jordan Love? Do they even know? How could they know? They may think they know, but there's no way they could because the guy still has not done anything that has mattered in any situation that has mattered. Now, I'm not saying that he hasn't gotten better. I'm not saying that he hasn't improved in the 3 years that he's been there. I mean, how the hell could he not, right? Just don't tell me, Packer fan, that you know what you have in this guy because you don't. And don't tell me they know what they have in this guy, because they don't. Yeah, right, Rome. Right, Rome. But obviously they think they have something, or they would not have let Rodgers go in the first place. All right, fair, I guess. Either that, or they're really just sick of Rodgers and they needed to get him out of the building. Packer fan, be careful what you wish for and remember what you had. Hear me again. Be careful what you wish for and remember what you've had. 3 decades of uninterrupted Hall of Fame play under center. So, Love may be better now than he was when he arrived, but he's now stepping into a near impossible situation. So don't act like you know it's all good. Don't act like he's ready. And this transition from one Hall of Famer to another to, well, Jordan Love is going to be seamless, because it's not. Why do you think his own head coach, Matt LaFleur, went way out of his way to tell Packer fan yesterday to relax when it comes to Love?
At the same time, we're excited about Jordan and what he's been able to, how he's been able to progress as a quarterback, how he's matured as a man. And, you know, it's going to be a different role for him, certainly. And I think we all have to kind of temper our expectations with, you know, for him. It's different when you're going into a game versus when you're starting a game. And it's going to be a process.
Hey, Packer fan, that's got to inspire a hell of a lot of confidence. You got to be feeling pretty good about that, right? We all need to temper our Jordan Love expectations. Is that what you just said? We all need to temper our Jordan Love expectations. The hell we do, Maddie. The hell we do. Nobody is interested in tempering anything. Nobody is interested in tempering any Jordan Love expectations, least of all Packer fan. This dude better be good. This dude better be worth all of that fallout that started maybe 7 seconds after Roger Goodell called his name on draft night. No kidding, quote, it's gonna be a different role for him this year. Right. He's the guy. He's no longer holding a clipboard. He has the weight of 3 consecutive decades of quarterback greatness on his shoulders. And after all of this, he better be able to handle it. And the team better play well. Because this isn't just a huge year for Jordan Love. It is a huge year for Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst too. Every head coach and GM looks great when their quarterback is out there shredding the entire league and racking up back-to-back MVPs. Now we get to see what this team really looks like without an all-time great under center doing all-time great things that you couldn't wait to get rid of. So no, nobody anywhere is going to temper any expectations. The expectations, of course, are enormous, because of course they are, and they better be met, or else it's going to get really ugly and really messy really quickly for everybody. No matter how hard anybody in Green Bay tries to preach patience, which Matt LaFleur did a second time yesterday.
Yeah, I'm not. I just think it's going to be a progression. I mean, certainly I think we're fooling ourselves if we think he's going to go out there and perform at a level of to the likes of what Aaron Rodgers. I mean, this guy is a once-in-a-lifetime, a generational talent.
You hear that, Packer fan? You might be disappointed in Aaron's play last year, but if you're expecting any better from Jordan Love, or even just as good, then, quote, you're fooling yourselves. Yeah, that's not coming from me. That's coming from your head coach. He just said as much. It wasn't the whole point of moving on from Aaron supposed to be about winning? Like, if they thought they had a better chance to win with the franchise icon quarterback that they already had under contract, wouldn't they have at least tried to run it back? And if not, what are we even doing here? What are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
And one more thing, Packer fan.
Like, what are we doing?
Right? Andrew, what are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
You know, you're the one that brought Aaron in. What are we doing here?
Like, what am I here for?
And listen, don't try to tell me about how Aaron ghosted the team, which is what Goody claimed this week. If Goody really wanted the dude back, he would have made that really clear. But does anybody anywhere really believe that Goody really wanted that dude back? And listen, I want to be so clear about this. If he didn't want the dude back and decided that it was time to move on and they want to turn the team over to their young gun that they gave up so much for, great. If you think that love gives you a better chance to win and you'd rather have him in your building than that Hall of Famer that you're clearly sick of, that's fine too. That's your call. But don't make that call and then tell all of us to settle the hell down and to temper our expectations, right? This isn't peewee ball. It's the NFL. And we've just seen 3 decades of some of the greatest quarterback play ever. And you made the call to move on from that. So hell no, no one is tempering their expectations. It's go time, and this dude has got some enormous shoes to fill. So let's see what he's got. And stop covering for him before he actually steps onto the field. For real. This is the QB the Packers traded up for and used a first-round pick on while Aaron was still clearly in his prime. This is the QB that's now had 3 seasons to get prepped for and ready to become the guy. This is the QB you just ran off the best player in franchise history for. A franchise icon that could easily still be in the MVP conversation and playing deep into the playoffs for another franchise next season. So, miss me with this bullcrap about managing expectations. Love better be up for all that, because if he's not, again, it's going to get really ugly for a lot of people. So no, Maddie, I'm not going to temper my expectations. Even if you are about to move on to a quarterback that the great Andy Reid has never even heard of.
What did you think of Jordan Love in that quarter, one by up in the game that he played against you, what was that, 2 years ago?
Who's that?
Jordan Love.
Trying to remember Jordan Love.
Packers, he started that game when Rodgers missed it because of COVID.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah. No, I thought he was good.
Still can't get enough of that clip. We'll never, ever get enough of that clip.
Who's that?
Jordan Love.
Who's that? Who?
Trying to remember Jordan Love.
The heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers. Who was the heir apparent to Brett Favre. Not only does Big Red have absolutely no idea who Jordan Love is, but they're only asking him because he's the only head coach who's had to prepare for a Jordan Love start.
Who's that?
Jordan because Love has one career start against Andy Reid's Chiefs. And that one start apparently made such an impression on Andy, who's forgotten nothing, that he forgot who Jordan Love was. Apparently that start and that player were entirely forgettable. But from what he does remember, he thought he was pretty good. Then again, as funny as that is, it sounds like Andy Reid is higher on the dude than Matt LaFleur is. And Andy Reid doesn't even know who he is. Either way, Maddie, you're wasting your time. Because no one is tempering anything. Y'all got what you wanted. Fine. Great. Your decision. Your call. You just better hope that he proves you right. And in the meantime, stop telling us how we should think and how we should feel about it.
We all have to kind of temper our expectations.
No, actually we don't, Matt. And nobody's going to. And nobody should. It's go time. Your dudes had 3 years to get ready for this. 3 years. You drafted this guy to replace Aaron Rodgers, but you didn't tell Rodgers, and all that did was piss him off into playing 2 MVP seasons. So no one's tempering anything after 3 years. Miss me with that bullcrap. Come on with that.
We all have to kind of temper our expectations.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no one's doing that. 1-800-636-8686. Stop trying to cover this guy. That's not a good take, Matt. Good job, Alvin. Not a very good take. Not a very good take. I don't like that take. Not a very good take. Hit me up, Packer fan. Because I know that you can't wait to get rid of Aaron. He's gone. Don't worry about that. He's not coming back. But we're not tampering anything. If you're going to run a Hall of Fame quarterback and your best player ever out the door, then you obviously have a really good solution and a really good reason. And fine. Notice I'm not saying it's the wrong decision. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that's the wrong take. No one's tempering anything. 1-800-636-8686. In terms of other bad takes, you check out Calvin Ridley. Oh, wow. So NFL players are allowed to wear the number zero. He was the first one to jump up and say, me.
Zero.
That's me. And as they like to say in all the blogs, the internet had jokes. The internet had jokes. Unfortunately, Calvin responded to the internet's jokes. Never a good idea. My man, you need help, and I'm here to give it to you. Be sure you're listening. I'll let you know how to handle that, because that's not how you handle that. Speaking of quarterbacks and their situations and their contracts, then you've got the Browns and the Ravens and Lamar. And now Jimmy Haslam has inserted himself into the conversation because as much as the Browns want to think they've got nothing to do with the situation Lamar finds himself in, and I'm not absolving Lamar, far from it. Just don't tell me the Browns have nothing to do with it because they do. They do. Haslam will have you believe that they don't, but he's also wrong. I'm not saying that I'm always right. Mostly. Almost always right. But I'm here to point out who's wrong. And Haslam also is wrong.
That's right.
Tom Brady, still in the news for whatever reason. Whatever reason he's in the news is probably not that good of a reason. It's not. 1-800-636-8686. Let's see if we have any reaction before I go to the first break. Drew in West LA, quote, LaFleur sounds like a CEO preparing his shareholders for a brutal earnings report.
Fooling ourselves if we think he's going to go out there and perform at a level of to the likes of what Aaron
Yeah, that didn't inspire a lot of confidence, did it? Not like, hey, man, we got our guy. We know. We see him in the building. We see him on the practice field. We've had him in here for 3 years. We know. It's time. I'm not even saying that that guy needs to step right in and be Aaron Rodgers. We all know Aaron Rodgers is a first ballot Hall of Famer. We know this, Matt. Nobody's saying that. But don't tell us to temper our expectations. We're not looking to get 1% better every day here, Matt. We're not looking for incremental improvement, Matt. You're handing this guy the mantle. He's the heir apparent. You drafted him to replace this guy. It's time. Hell, it was time back then. But this guy got 3 years to prepare himself for this. You handpicked this guy for this assignment and then didn't tell the guy that you were replacing him and drafting his heir apparent. You handpicked him, you drafted him, you moved up to get him, and you did it for this very moment. Except this very moment took 3 years. So what, temper our expectations? For how long, Matt? For another year? For two more years? How much time does this guy need? 5 years? 6 years? Yeah, no. Sean in Wichita, quote, I sure hope he's improved. That one drive last season very well could be fool's gold. I was at that game against KC back in 2021, and when Love played like ass, so I'm going to remain skeptical. Hashtag go Pack go. That's a Packer fan. Chris in Milwaukee is in. Jimmy, manage expectations? That's what I have to tell everyone when I introduce myself. Regards, Jack Savage. You know what's funny about that? Jordan Love is the exact opposite in name to Jack Savage. He's Jordan Love. And he's Jack Savage.
Nice, right?
When I interviewed Savage, I'm like, dude, shoot me straight. Let's be real. If we're going to have a relationship and you're going to work here, I need to know something. Anything you want, Jim. How many people have you killed, Savage? I'm not at liberty to say, sir. Planet Wilson 1. Good morning. If you're driving to go hang out with Robert Plant, you're probably not Jim Rome. Regards, local news guy, Savant.
If you're getting ready for work right now, then you're probably not Doug Collins.
Yeah, I did that deep dive last night. I did add that story to Twitter. Because as I was doing my nighttime prep, I all of a sudden saw Robert Plant trending. And as it is with anybody who is a certain age and of a certain celebrity, you're like, no, oh no. Either my man is trending because something bad happened to him, or he's trending because somebody who mattered found out that I didn't take him up on his offer to go to a concert and hang out with Robert Plant.
No!
So yes, I did tweet that story last night. You know, I did one more thing too, as we go to break. As I was going through trying to figure out why he was trending, I came across a link that I had never seen before. And it was this, how did I not know this? I didn't know this. But it was one of my favorite bands doing a cover on an enormous stage of maybe my favorite song ever. Yeah, no, that's that really original, Stairway to Heaven being the best song ever. However, in 2012, I didn't even know this. How did I not know this? One of my favorite bands ever, honestly, is Heart. I love Heart. Love the Wilson Sisters. They did a cover of Stairway to Heaven in 2012 in front of the band, in front of the president, in front of some all-time rock and roll greats. It's incredible. Like, it's so incredible that 10 years later, they're still talking about it. They're still interviewing everybody involved about that performance, about that cover, and about how Robert Plant, my man, is so conflicted about the song because he's seen so many people murder the song over the years. And the band sat before them. I don't want to give it up. I don't want to be a spoiler alert for something that happened 10 years ago, but you got to see it. It's like the most amazing performance of that song. And the reaction of the surviving band members upon seeing it is incredible. So I did a deep dive last night. That's why he's referencing Robert Plant. 12-Wood, dude, why are you coming around so much all of a sudden? What, dude, is this your kind of reinvention? 12-Wood, quote, temper your expectations. Signed, Mercore dealer to Young Rome when buying his XR4 Ti.
Temper our expectations.
Hey, Wood, I never thought that you were going to split the atom, but dude, I cannot believe how badly you misspelled Mercore. Not that I ever expected you to split the atom, Mensa. Wow, dude. You're trying really hard, man. 1-800-636-8686. Good to see Kathleen is in. I'll have her take when we come back. All right, so in addition to that, Tom Pelissero, who always does a great job, is going to join me. That's coming up at 9:40. Jordan Addison, NFL draft prospect, former USC Trojan, via Zoom, coming up at 10:40. Packer fan, how do you feel about that? Are you ready to temper your expectations, Packer fan?
Temper
our expectations. Or are you not built to win right now? Weren't you built to win last year? Even if you haven't heard of, quote, refund shock, you might feel it. That's because refunds are smaller this year thanks to stimulus payments and pandemic-related tax credits that are expiring. So before you file, talk to an expert like Jackson Hewitt. Even with smaller refunds, Jackson Hewitt will get you your guaranteed biggest refund. And right now, Tax Prep is 50% off. So go to Jackson Hewitt today and save. 50% off is a limited time offer for new clients filing at participating locations. Max value $200. Visit jacksonhewitt.com/50 for terms. Once again, jacksonhewitt.com/50.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, so short segment right here because I've got Tom Pelissero coming up next segment. But time enough for a phone call or two, so let's do it. We go to Hillsboro, Virginia. Larry, good to have you on the show.
Hey,
Larry, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Jim, I want to call about the situation of Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. I'm a Packer fan since 1966. I'm 68. That was the first year I followed football, and Green Bay's been very fortunate to have three great quarterbacks. Unfortunately, the last one they've had doesn't seem to be very well appreciated by management. I'll tell you what, Brian Gutekunst and Jordan Love are probably, not definitely, but probably going to be a marriage made in ham and egg heaven. I don't think they've been very respectful to Rodgers. I'm happy to see him moving on, and I hope he does very well with the New York Jets.
I got you, Larry. Listen, I appreciate you, first of all, as a longtime Packer fan. Like, your opinion matters to me. If you've been a Packer fan since the mid-60s, you've seen it all, so you know. Hear what I'm saying, and then hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying they made the wrong choice. I'm not saying that it's not time. All right? I mean, I've got feelings about that, but I'm not saying that they totally jacked this up. You got that whole he said thing, right? Aaron says they led me to believe I had as much time as I needed to make my decision, but then I emerged from the darkness retreat, and apparently they had already made their decision. And Goody's saying, no, that's not how that went. Goody is saying he ghosted us. We tried to reach out to him. He was not responsive, so we had to do what we had to do. I'm fine with that. I'm not picking a side on that because I don't know what was said and what wasn't said. I'm fine with that. I'm even fine with them saying it's time to move on. What I'm not fine with is Matt LaFleur coming out and telling us, temper your expectations. You see, I was around when they made the last transition from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. I was the guy saying, it's Rodgers' time. It's Rodgers' time. I don't remember Aaron Rodgers being provided that same cover that Jordan Love is now getting from his coach and management. No, I'll tell you what I do remember. I remember Packer fan hating Aaron Rodgers. I remember Packer fan not even being Packer fan, but being Brett Favre fan. They couldn't stand Rodgers. He wasn't provided that cover because they were obsessed with Brett Favre. They loved the old gunslinger. So what I'm saying is Rodgers was not provided that cover. Yet we're supposed to give it to Jordan Love? Why? Two more things. Well, most importantly, what is ham and egg heaven?
Brian Gutekunst and Jordan Love are probably, not definitely, but probably going to be a marriage made in ham and egg heaven.
Larry, what is that?
What?
If ever there was an appropriate time for the what drop, it's that. What does that mean, they're not a marriage made in ham and egg heaven?
In ham and egg
heaven. I mean, I'm part Wisconsinite now, and I have no idea what the hell that means. Dude, is that good or bad? I thought ham and eggs did go well together. Don't they?
A marriage made in ham and egg heaven.
What do I know?
What?
One more thing about, quote, tempering expectations. If Aaron Rodgers was coming off an MVP season and forced his way out, and they had to play the rookie right after drafting him, then I understand the coach going way out of his way to say, we really need to temper our expectations. But that's not what that is. He's had three years to get acclimated with the expectations. All right, 3 years. And the system, and the playbook, and being the guy who you selected to be the guy. You're not running some rookie out there to replace an MVP. He's had 3 years to get ready. We're not tempering Jack. You know what that take is? That's a take that was made in ham and egg heaven.
Marriage made in ham and egg heaven.
That's what that take is. When we come back, Tom Pelissero is going to join us. Maybe he can explain to me what that means.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Right back at it. We are joined right now by an NFL Network insider. He is a SiriusXM NFL radio host. He is Tom Pelissero. Tom, great to have you back. How are you?
Fantastic, Jim. How are you doing?
Really good, Tom. Good to visit with you. Thanks so much. You've been covering the NFL annual meeting in Arizona. Let me ask you a couple of things. How would you interpret the sequence of events Monday when Lamar Jackson tweeted he had asked the Ravens for a trade back on March 2nd, just as his head coach, John Harbaugh, was telling everybody how much he loved Lamar and expected to have him back this season? What do you make of that whole sequence?
Well, first of all, Jim, the timing is no coincidence there. It was absolutely timed up so that John Harbaugh would have to answer uncomfortable questions about Lamar Jackson for that entire 30-minute breakfast. Having said that, the fact that the trade request was made on March 2nd, before Lamar Jackson was even franchise tagged, and in addition, the fact that he does not need to be traded right now, make it just another unusual, strange development. I mean, think about this. In order to execute a trade, Lamar would need to agree to a new contract with a different team. He already has the right to negotiate with the other 31 teams. The trade request part of it is symbolic at most. It does not really change anything other than, obviously, making clear that right now Lamar Jackson is frustrated by the state of negotiations. It also is at a time where Lamar Jackson continues to engage with the Ravens. You know, his initial tweet said that the Ravens have not been willing to meet his value. Well, here's your chance to go find your value on the open market, negotiate with the other 31 teams, and it's just complicated, Jim, when you're talking about not just giving up a potentially fully or mostly fully guaranteed contract, but also one at a number that's probably close to $50 million a year. It's over 20% of your salary cap. You got to give up two first-round picks for a player whose mobility has always been his greatest asset, that is, by definition, a depreciating asset. He suffered consecutive season-ending injuries, and he's a player who you're going to have to overhaul your entire scheme and personnel to play with him. I'm not saying that no one should do it. He's a former NFL MVP. There's absolutely reason to consider it, but this is not Madden. This is not fantasy. This is real life where you're committing resources and building a team. And Ron Rivera laid it out pretty well the other day, just saying, would you invest that much in one player? It does impact everything else you're trying to do.
Tom Pelissero joining us. You know, that answered my very next question. How is it that we're talking about a guy in his prime who's a former unanimous MVP, not even getting an offer sheet? You actually just did answer that question by laying that out the way you just did. Let me ask you this. If he doesn't get an offer sheet and he's got to play the next year under that franchise tag, is there any way he would sit out and not play?
I think anything's possible, Jim. I think that if there's one thing we know about Lamar and how he approaches this entire situation is that the normal course of business in the NFL is in no way a guide for his decision-making. Listen, if he had an agent, which he does not a certified agent, that agent would have pushed 2 years ago for him to get a new contract. It would have been the same playbook that you saw last year with Kyler Murray. And Kyler Murray was not a former NFL MVP. Kyler Murray had not won a playoff game like Lamar Jackson had. No agent would have allowed Lamar Jackson to set foot on the field 2 years ago for $1.7 million. But he showed up, played the whole season. Last year, same thing. Showed up and played the entire season for $23 million. Now the franchise tag is worth over $32 million. Logic would say, well, if he played for $1.7 and he played for $23, why would he not show up and play for $32? But it's pretty obvious in reading the tweets, which he continued to send late last night, that there's more to this than the simple numbers. And I think that an agent at this point also would be explaining to Lamar, would have done it 2 years ago, that as much as the fully guaranteed contract matters to the Players Association, as much as there is, in Lamar's mind, a respect factor to that, because Deshaun Watson just got $46 million per year on a five-year, $230 million fully guaranteed deal, despite serious allegations of sexual misconduct and everything else that was going on, Lamar could say, I'm better than him. I'm more accomplished than him. And he's right. But Deshaun Watson had a unique amount of leverage in that particular situation, and the only way Cleveland was going to get him was to fully guarantee that contract. For Lamar, it's not, you know, in general, at the quarterback position, it's not about the guarantees. It's about cash flow. It's about how much money can you get right now? Because guess what? Quarterbacks don't get cut. Quarterbacks generally play out their deals. And quarterbacks, when you have a year or two left, get to a new contract. So rather than signing a deal 2 years ago when he easily could have pushed and he did have some leverage of, I'm not showing up for $1.7 million, he chose to play. And that sets him behind. He's already lost tens of millions of dollars already, just in terms of the contract. Now he's out here. If he starts giving up $2 million per game to sit out, that would seem to be inconsistent with his prior decisions. But again, this is not something that's being driven by the way that agents and teams and players generally think about these things. Anything is possible right now for Lamar Jackson. And, you know, John Harbaugh continues to say that he believes Lamar ultimately will be the starting quarterback. It's just there's not really a clear path to exactly how that's going to happen at this point.
Tom Pelissero expertly breaking this all down. Tom, before you go, what about the Jets and Packers? Aaron Rodgers obviously is on record. He said it publicly, I am going to play for the Jets, but he did say that 2 weeks ago. Now, I understand that today there may not be a sense of urgency from either side, but where do things stand in talks between the Jets and Packers, and at what point does it get urgent?
Well, Brian Gutekunst and Joe Douglas did sit down here at the NFL annual meeting. They continue to have the conversation. They've been negotiating for weeks, for over a month, even before Aaron Rodgers met with the Jets. They wanted, ideally, in a perfect world, the Packers would have had the compensation. And for the Jets, they would have had the compensation worked out prior to that conversation. But because of the timeline, because you were already in early March, they had to get the ball rolling. They couldn't sit there and negotiate and say Aaron couldn't even talk to them to make his ultimate decision of what he wanted to do. So at this point, the Packers are not looking for the type of trade package that we've seen in recent quarterback deals of two first-round picks and more. Brian Gutekunst said the other day that even getting one first-rounder is not necessarily a necessity, but there's different ways, Jim, that you can get to that same value. It can be a combination of picks that really add up to a first-rounder and more. That's the target right now for the Packers. From everything that I've been told, they're not far. They're not on completely different pages, but they're not close yet. And the real pressure point is going to be the week of the NFL draft. Because at that point, if the Packers don't take the Jets' best offer, or if the Jets don't come up and meet what the Packers are asking for, now you're talking about going from 2023 and 2024 draft picks to 2024 and 25 draft picks. By the way that most GMs define that, you're downgrading those picks by kicking them back for a year. So if it gets beyond the draft, then we go to crazy town, because then it's just about, I'm going to mess up your season. No, I'm going to mess up your season. And we can go through this stare down as long as you want. The Packers can go all the way till the day before the regular season opener before they'd have to pull the trigger on Rodgers' option bonus. And he's only counting like $32 million on their cap. That's not ideal, because you'd like to be spending those resources someplace else. But it's not prohibitive for them to wait this thing out. And that's what both sides are saying at this moment. Let's see, though, when we get to that pressure point of the week of the NFL draft, and think it's done.
Tom Pelissero, my guest. One last thought, Tom. What about, I thought it was kind of curious to see Odell Beckham make an appearance yesterday. I mean, I know he's training in-state, but how unusual is it for a free agent to show up at those meetings, and what was his agenda?
It's pretty rare, Jim. I can only think of one or two other times that's ever happened. Now, it happened that, you know, Odell trains out in Arizona. His agent, Zeke Sandu, is based out there. So he was around, and, you know, he hadn't been able to get face-to-face with teams since back in December. Now, what I would anticipate here is that Odell will take one or more visits before making a decision, because you don't exactly have the equipment and resources to do a physical at the Arizona Biltmore Hotel. So they'll bring him in, you know, whether it's the Jets, whether it's the Ravens, whether it's somebody else, I imagine, because the knee was the issue last year. You know, it was a re-tear of the ACL that he had in the Super Bowl back 13 months ago. He was not quite ready in his mind to even work out for clubs. He did finally do that a few weeks ago, and, you know, that created some kind of buzz. Just, you know, you see, it's still Odell. You know, maybe he doesn't have that, you know, the flamethrower speed he once did, but he's still a really good receiver. He's not going to come on the cheap. He's tweeted that much. He's also not asking for $20 million plus, which had been rumored out there. So let's see when this lines up. I mean, think about those teams we're talking about, Jim. The Packers, we think they're getting Aaron Rodgers. They probably are. It's probably a 90-plus percent chance, but he's not actually done. The Ravens, we don't know who their quarterback is. And if you're Odell, you don't want to go into an uncertain type of a situation where maybe you're on a one-year contract, you're trying to reestablish yourself, show you're healthy, and all of a sudden, no offense to Snoop Huntley, but if you have a second, third-string quarterback throwing you the football, that's probably not the best way to establish your earning power and try to get one more big bite at the apple.
He is an NFL Network insider, a SiriusXM NFL radio host, and all over all these topics. Tom Pelissero, my guest. Tom, really appreciate it. Thanks for coming back on. That was great, as always.
Always a pleasure, Jim. Thanks.
You too, Tom. Thanks so much. Pro's pro right there. I want to remind you, and you can react to any of that, I want to remind you that it's a Wednesday, so that's an Ask the Pros day. Get started early. Ask me a question. And remember, it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Ask me a question there. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, get the parts and service you need quickly from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hit me up, and I will answer one or more of those questions a little bit later on. Still ahead, Jordan Addison, NFL draft prospect, great wide receiver. Started at Pitt, ended up with USC. We will have him at 10:40. When we come back, I want to talk about Calvin Ridley. I've got some advice for him that I think he needs to hear from me. And that's coming up. In the meantime, phone lines are wide open. What do you make of any of these topics? I laid out at the very top a big, fat, beefy Packers take. Packer fan. Reaction. Hey, did you know we have a YouTube channel? I told you about that, too.
What?
Go over there. Subscribe. Yes, we do have a YouTube channel. This is not a new thing. And I'm not even going to temper your expectations. Go over there, and you'll get more great content. And it will be free. At the Jim Rome Show. Hour number two, coming up next.